It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 8. We're going to read from verse 8 down through verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 18. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We love studying the Word of God. We love reading the Word of God, so we'll begin very quickly. John chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those of thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Let's begin now with a word of prayer after we've read the precious Word of God. Father, I thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. I ask that you will touch every listener, that every ear will hear clearly your word, that their heart will be touched by your word today. There is power only in your word, God, not in mine, not in any other man. The power is in your word. And so please, as we speak your word and speak it clearly and speak it correctly, I ask that that strength and that power will come and convict the hearts as it convicted these men that were standing before this lady and before the Lord Jesus. I ask that as I speak his word, as he was speaking his word, that clearly that the conviction will come and the heart will be turned unto you. Now please, Lord, that you do a mighty work today as we proclaim your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves that he was in, according to the verse 1 there, went into Mount Olives. But very early in the morning he came again to the temple. He returned, whether he went to pray as we talked before, but he has returned unto the temple. And all the people came unto him, and they sat down and taught them, according to verse 2. This is all review. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him. They were trying to trick him. And so they were doing everything they could do. They didn't care about this woman. If she was caught in the very act, then the question I have, and that is, where was the man? He should have been caught as well, because as we go back, and we did go back into the law, and we found where that both were to be brought before them and both stoned to death, not just the woman. So where's the man? We don't know. They didn't care. They were just trying to trick the Lord Jesus. They were just trying to catch the Lord Jesus some way that they could put him, they could find something against him. And so they hated Jesus, and they desired with all of their heart to put him to death, but they couldn't find any falseness. They had to come up with a lie to ever find anything against him, because Jesus was perfect. And when Jesus quoted the law, when Jesus spoke, he spoke not only with authority, but he always spoke with truth. That's all that was within him, was truth. They thought they could catch him. Now, so we have a question to begin with. Where's the man? He wasn't present, it doesn't seem like, and nothing is listed anyway. When they asked this question, and they brought it a little closer here, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that she should be stoned to death. But what do you say? That was a question. What do you say? Now Jesus at the very beginning didn't answer, did he? He stooped down with his finger and he began to write in the ground. And it seemed as though that he didn't even hear the question. So they continued asking, according to the seventh verse. They continued to ask him, what should we do with this woman? Moses says. Now see, they thought he would have to say the same, and he would put this woman to death. And then, they were, the mercy and the healing power and everything that Jesus was coming to do was to seek and to save those that are lost, not to condemn. Now that's according to the Word of God. But they thought that they could, boy, if we caught her in the very act, and there was no question, we have witnesses here. And so Jesus again stooped down and started writing with his finger in the ground, paid no attention to him. But they just kept coming, and they just kept asking, because you see, they really wanted to catch Jesus in a lie or in some false statement of some sort. So they just stayed with him always, trying to do it. In continuing, then he lifted up himself and said to them, this is in the seventh verse, John chapter 8, verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And then he looked back down again. He stooped down and wrote in the ground. Now, we need to recognize that each and every one of us have sin in our life, and we need the Lord Jesus to take that sin away, to remove that sin from us. And that can be done by the cross of Calvary, and only by and through the cross and Jesus dying on that cross and going into that grave and coming out of that grave alive 3 days later and being the resurrected Lord, the living God that we have and we serve today. The living God right now is present with the Holy Spirit, or with the Father, the right hand of the Father, and of course we know that the Holy Spirit then was sent down here to indwell every believer, and you can find that as we study later in the book of John. It's such a joy to look at the Word of God and find the truths of God. Well, here we find Jesus, and here we find the enemy, those that hated the Lord Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, the very people that should have instantly fallen in love with him, trusted in him, believed in him as their Savior, and become a true child of God. Instead of that, why, they went against him and tried to defeat him. And the reason for those things is because when Jesus would come into their presence, his very presence, Jesus' very present, whether he spoke or not, convicted their heart. And when I say convicted their heart, showed them who they were. Showed them the ugliness of their sin, and they didn't like that. So the only thing they knew to do was to rid themselves of this Jesus. They had to rid themselves of Jesus, and so they were trying everything they could to do that, to accomplish that. As he stooped down now and began to write, we find, according to verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience. Again, when we find Jesus there, there is convicting power. And that's the reason we must always proclaim the truth. I am not perfect. I'm far from perfect. But God has allowed us, believers, to proclaim His Word, His truth. And His Word is true, and His Word is perfect, and He is true, and He is perfect. And we find again, according to the 12th verse, when we get to there, I am the light of the world. And so you see, we're in darkness until you see Jesus. I was in darkness until I found the Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful to have the light turned on. It's wonderful to walk from that darkness and immediately see light and be able to find your way. You can't find your way in darkness, but you can sure find yourself with the lights, find your way with the light on. And we need to have that light on, and the only light there is to be turned on is by and through the Lord Jesus. Well, they're still in their darkness, but that light was shining so brightly that they just didn't have any choice but to show them their old ugly selves, and they didn't like that at all. And as that was showing to them, some believe that he was writing even the very names of the sins, some sins that they had committed, and naming them one by one, beginning at the eldest, because it says the eldest left first. Well, some believe that the eldest was smarter than the younger. You know, sometimes when we're younger, we're just we have this kind of a cocky attitude, and we can do anything, and we can handle anything, and so it takes sometimes the younger a little longer to recognize their limits, because they need the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Well, the eldest here, and maybe it was because the Lord Jesus began to list with his finger the sin of the eldest, and then he worked his way down to the last. Every one of them left. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst, the 9th verse tells us. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those of thine accusers? Where are all these scribes and Pharisees that disrupted my teaching time with these folks? Where are those people that came and accused you of this sin that they said you had committed? And she said, they have all gone. So you see, no longer were there any accusers there. Well, it's wonderful what happens to us when we come to Jesus, no matter what sin that we have committed, the sins that we have committed in our life. But we know that they are all, can all be taken away. And we find here, if we come by faith to Jesus, and we find here that she says, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you recognize what picture we have? What takes place here? Jesus had taken between his perfection, between him being God and cannot stand and tolerate sin, he has placed the cross. And such a joy as they look, and we find that the requirement here that we have, and it begins a little further down concerning it. It speaks of judging. Well, they were judging this woman for what she was. Well, we're not going to say that what she was doing was right at all, because it wasn't. We know according to the law of Moses what was to take place because of that sin. But you see, all of us are born into sin. And all of us have to face that time that we're going to answer for every one of those sins. And the only way that we can avoid that time, that we stand before a righteous God and try to answer and give some excuse for why and what we've done, there's only one thing we can do, and that's before we come to that place of judgment, and that is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And the only way we can, when we come, we say we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, we have to go back some 2,000 years and look at something that took place. And what took place 2,000 years ago was man literally you and me, because our sins put Jesus on the cross. But the people of the day, by the permission of God, because this is the way he had it aligned, this is the way it was set to happen, to take place, we find that Jesus was brought before the judges. He was brought to the judgment seat. He was brought to the place that they would condemn him, even though they had to bring false accusations against him because nothing of truth was there. Then we find the next step, that they not only found him guilty, brought false evidence, found him guilty, finally found one to condemn him. And as he was condemned, then they took him out. He literally took his own cross, and then they found a man to carry his cross because physically he was not able to. They took it up to Golgotha, to the skull. And they placed him on the cross and the cross in the ground, and Jesus died there. Now, by Jesus dying there was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering was made for our sin. And so we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, to the cross of Calvary where he took our sin away. So we need to go back 2,000 years ago. Now, if you would have been an Old Testament person that lived in the Old Testament, you may have been looking forwards for 1,000 or for 2,000 or for 4,000 years. You could have been looking forward because even Adam and Eve looked forward to the cross of Calvary that they may be redeemed and their sins taken away. They had to await 4,000 years for that event to take place. Laban already was dead in the grave, but by faith they trusted in the coming Messiah. Well, Jesus has been in that grave, went to that grave, and came out of that grave, and he is at the right hand of the Father right now. But we need to go back some 2,000 years and by faith know that's where God took care of our sin through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Will you come to him? This lady here, she says, "No man, Lord," and Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." The cross of Calvary came. It was placed between. Jesus placed the cross between the woman and her sin. Because you see, all the sin was placed upon the cross of Calvary. Every sin of every person that's ever lived was placed there. Now, what have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Or are you still carrying that load of sin with you? We need to walk each day. We need to follow the Lord Jesus. But first of all, we must have a personal relationship with Jesus. Ask him into your heart to save you. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, to save it. And we have a beautiful picture here with this woman. Yes, the sin was guilty of death that she had committed. Well, so is the sin that we commit. It is guilty. We should be charged with it, and we should be and given the death penalty and put to death. But instead of that, Jesus gave us a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to look down there and find that as we enjoy the verse of Scripture, John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We'll read that in its entirety in just a few minutes. The cross. I need to introduce you to Jesus today, that you will come to the cross and be saved. Jesus then spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." To see the Lord Jesus, there's a couple verses of Scripture that I want you to look at. We're going to go all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, because I want you to see something, and then we're going to look at several other verses of Scripture. All the rest will be in John. But we need to go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." I want you to notice, and I have underlined in my Bible in the 12th verse, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am." the light of the world. What did we find back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14? When they ask who you are, tell them, I am. I am hath sent me unto you. That's what the Word of God tells us. Now let's look at several here, because I want you to see the importance, and we'll look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. The next I'll show you is right where we're studying in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. First of all, I am the bread of life. Next, we have the light of the world. Now, let's go one more page, or possibly two, to John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. So we have the first one, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Now I am the door. And if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Will you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today and trust in that precious offering, that precious sacrifice that he has made for you upon Calvary? John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you hear what the Word of God is telling you and calling you to come to him? John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. You need to come to Jesus today. And it tells us so clearly, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you come to know him personally? John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. These are, if you, I'm hoping today that you are had enough time, you took enough time, that you would follow with me. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except you go by the way of the Son. There's no other way. We find in one more verse, John chapter 15, verse 5. John 15, 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We have, in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:5, I am the vine. Will you please come to the Lord Jesus and trust in him? And as we're back now in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Moses wanted to know, when they ask, who should I say sent me? And God said, tell them that I am. I am hath sent me unto you. That's what you say. And we have the I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, the life, I am the truth and the life, and I am the vine. What a beautiful, beautiful part of Scripture here that we're covering today. I am the light, the Scripture tells us. Do you realize how important that is, and how much we need to recognize that Jesus is the light of the world? This world is dark. It's condemned. We need the Lord Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. We need to walk after Him. We need to fellowship with Him. But most of all, first of all, you must come and ask Him into your heart that He may save you. First John chapter 1, verse 5. I'll get it straight here for you in a minute. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. You walk into a dark room, and I just looked at a job that I need to do sometime in the near future, and it's to relocate a couple of switches at different places so that they can come in on one side and turn the light on. Now they have to come all the way across the room in both cases to turn the light on. They have to find their way through the darkness to get to the switch so that the light will come on. They want to be able to immediately come to the light. That's what we should do. We should stop trying to find our way through this life without the light of the Lord Jesus. Because of our sin, because of this cursed earth that as a result of sin, we are in total, complete darkness. But instead of God allowing us to just stay in that darkness, coming, living our life, dying in the same darkness and the same sin, and just wandering through this life, seems as though there's no purpose, no goal of this life at all. Instead of that, God, from the beginning, the foundation, before the foundations of the world, knew that when He had placed us here and given us a choice, because we serve Him by choice, not by demand or not by His order that we have to serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. I serve Him because I want to please Him. He is my Savior. He is my God. Now, as we walk each day, and as you have chose to stay in that darkness, you can come out of it at any time. Now, I say any time. The Word tells us today is the day of salvation. So I'm not going to promise you tomorrow. I don't even know if you'll have a tomorrow. So today you need to come from the darkness to the light. I want you to see your way. I want the Lord Jesus to direct your path instead of you just wandering around, not knowing where you're going, not knowing where you're at, not knowing what any purpose of life is. Because when you come to know the Lord Jesus, you'll find that reason, you'll find that purpose, and you'll have the light. He is that light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. God is light. What a joy to walk after the Lord Jesus. As you can imagine, just to come into a room and be able to turn the light on, bright light that you can see everything that's around you. You'll understand, and you'll begin to walk with the Lord Jesus. He will begin to lead you, and you will follow Him. It's such a joy to be a child of God. It's so important, my friend, that you come by faith to Jesus. I'm going to ask this question as I do each time. What are you going to do about Jesus?